Just stand to our feet a moment and just lock in with God for a minute. Just shut your eyes. That just helps to lock everyone else out. There's nothing more spiritual about it, but it helps just focus on Him and just invite the Holy Spirit personally now to come and speak to you tonight. Invite Him to come and work in you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I know that I'm hungry for you to come and just move me into a closer place with you, Lord, where I hear you more clearly. I'm ready to respond more clearly. The things that hinder just fall off of my life more, that expression of your life and of your word will be that much more tangible, that much more real. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to me, to come and work, to come and have your way, Lord. Lord, the things that your word exposes, I welcome in my life, Lord. I welcome your discipline. I welcome your exposing things that need to change. I want to humble myself, Lord, under your word tonight. And thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit and the word together releasing your kingdom in me and through me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whatever your day has looked like, just make a choice right now to lay those things aside. It's just like to bring them to the foot of the cross, just to lay them aside. Say, Holy Spirit, I want to give this time, give myself to you. You can have your way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, grab a seat, everybody. You can sit down, but on the inside, I want you stood up, all right? Because I think, you know, these days that we're living in, as Londoners, I quite like that, saying that, as Londoners, you know, these are incredible days, aren't they?
Yes.
And I think it, you know, we're not going to focus on what happened last Saturday tonight, but we are going to pray. And it does have a bearing, and it's right that it has a bearing, because everything that God is saying in our lives, week in, week out, to us individually, just in your own walk with Him, and to us as a church, God is very aware of the seasons. He's very aware of the times. He's very aware of His plan that's being outworked in the world, and also of what the enemy is seeking to do to come against that. And I know for me, this, what happened on Saturday night, ever since then, there's just been a real something happening on the inside of me that I believe is God. I feel there's lots of emotion around that. And we're not moved by emotion, but emotion's not something to be scared of. We shouldn't shy away of emotion, because God has emotion. Come in, grab a seat.
Sorry.
Welcome. Hello. No, it's fine. Come in. You know, God feels things. And if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit and sensitive to God, then we're going to feel what God feels. And that's something that we can develop in our relationship with God, where we become very sensitive to how He feels. And I believe, you know, God's grieving over some things at the moment in our city and in our country. And God wants us to lock in to what He's saying more and more. And the things that we've been putting on the table for you, the food that you've been eating spiritually in these last weeks and these last months, even in this last year, God is equipping us, preparing us, positioning us. Do you have a sense of that? I do. I have such a sense of that, not just for myself and for Jonathan and for us and our family, but for you and for us as a church family, a real sense of being positioned and being equipped for where God has positioned us in this city. And we are going to spend a little bit of time towards the end really praying over our city and over London tonight, and doing what God's called us to do, to stand in the gates. We are the gatekeepers for our city. London is the gateway for the nation. It's the capital of our nation. So we have a responsibility that I know we've picked up, and we're saying, God, we want to be those who take responsibility on behalf of our city. And I felt God, you know, there's a bunch of things, notes. I've got more notes than normal. You've got two sides this week, and you'll get those at the end. And we are going to look at some of those, because we're talking tonight about our faith, praying with faith and authority. And that's no coincidence that God has put that on the timetable, if you like, for this week, because more than ever, we need to be those who know how to pray with faith and with authority to come against the enemy and his plans in our city and in our nation and in our own lives as well. But I'm not just going to go through the notes, I'm going to share some things that God's laid on my heart. And God has a plan for us individually. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yes. Esther, you know, Book of Esther says, for such a time as this. You know, we're born for such a time as this. We're born into the season of time, and time is limited. Time will come to an end. But we're born with purpose and with destiny. And God wants us to be very aware of that in this season. And for Kingdom Faith, as a church, as an apostolic network in this nation, Kingdom Faith exists for purpose. Kingdom Faith is people. It's not a building. It's not a church or churches. It's people who carry a vision. Kingdom Faith is actually a vision that God has given that is carried by people. Okay? So you are Kingdom Faith. We are Kingdom Faith as people. We are the vision. We are the ones that carry it. And God raises up churches, networks, visions, people to fulfill his plan. And he has a plan in this nation for us. The church in London exists because of the vision that God has given Kingdom Faith about having a spiritual positioning here in the nation. We were very, very aware of that when God sent us up here last year, that it's about being in the heart of the nation. Because many years ago, when this vision was birthed by Les and Dot, the former pastors, that came out of that sense of being part of something in the nation. Now, we had a terrible thing happen on Saturday in the city, but there was something terrible that happened a few years ago as well, if you remember, on 7/7. Now, you guys, many of you were living here in London at that time. You were very aware of it. Who was here? Who was actually living in the city then? So just probably about half were living in the city at that time. And myself and Jane Urquhart used to come up regularly to pray with a group of women, different people. And we would come every so often just to come up into the city. And there was the same meeting that we would normally come up to. One of our key intercessors, Elizabeth Allen, and some of you will know her, she's a key intercessor in Kingdom Faith. God spoke to her and said, we all need to go. This next meeting on the 7th of July, what year was it? 2005. So 7th of July, 2005, Elizabeth just had it very strong from the Lord. We need to go. All our intercessors, our key intercessors, there were about 15 of us. Never happened before or since. God spoke to her and said, we need to go. We need to all go to this meeting and pray. So we piled in a minibus, and probably about a mile outside the city, the news hit what was happening. We didn't really know what was happening, to be honest, but we knew something was happening. And somehow, you know, we got right into the heart of the city, which was a miracle, because we literally, the roads were gridlock. We said, if one person is afraid, if one person feels it's not right or is afraid, then we'll all go back. Every person needs to be 100% peace. We're going in. And everyone had peace, so we went in. And literally our driver, I can't remember who it was, one of the team was driving, and it was literally right, turn right, turn left, turn right. We were literally, the Holy Spirit was telling us which way to go. And when we got home later that evening, and we drove through all these back roads, and we got into the meeting, and we, along with about another 15 people who had made it, there should have been about 100 people at this meeting, there was about 30 of us that made it, we just prayed. We prayed over the city, we prophesied over the city. And when we got home that night, we looked at, on the news, because there were bombs going off all over London, we looked at where our venue was and where all the bombs had gone off, and we were right in the middle. Our venue was smack bang in the middle. So how we actually got in, I don't know. But God spoke to us at that time about the calling of God on kingdom faith in this nation. And that's why I'm sharing it, for no other reason than if we're obedient and we listen to the Lord, one, we don't have to be afraid. We need wisdom. We need wisdom, and we need to stay close to God. And I'm not saying we just do things for the sake of it. But God knew what was going to happen on that day, and he positioned us. Why? Because Kingdom Faith has a calling to pray, to stand in the gate, in this gate, and to do many more things, but prayer is at the heart of who we are. So we can take encouragement from that, because we have a role, we have a purpose. God has a plan for us that he wants to outwork in this nation and in this city. Now, there's a couple of things I want us to look at, and we're going to first look at... We're looking at praying with faith and authority. And I think before we look at faith, we're going to look at authority, because they're so interlinked. Okay, now just listen to this scripture. And this is Jesus speaking at the end of Matthew, very well-known passage. And he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's what Jesus said. And then he said that famous Great Commission, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the end of the age. But the phrase that Jesus said of himself, he said, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth. And we, as the body of Christ, we are in Christ Jesus. We are in the one who has all authority. So when fear comes, when intimidation comes, when the enemy comes, all authority has been given to me, Jesus said. And we're in the one who has all authority. And we're going to briefly look at what did that look like for Jesus? Why we know he had that authority because he was who he was. He was the Son of God. He was the Word of God. He was the truth revealed. But he still had to live fully man when he was in the earth. So turn in your Bibles, please, we're going to look at a scripture in Hebrews. Because where did this authority come from? It was given to him. But there are principles in the word that even Jesus had to outwork in his humanity in order to receive that authority, in order to receive that faith. If you know, scripture says that he was tempted in every way that you and I are, but he didn't sin. He didn't give way to it. He could have done, in other words. He could have yielded to the temptation of sin, and the whole work of salvation would have been thwarted. Hi, Mikey, come in. Some seats here. So here in Hebrews chapter 5, we have a little window into how Jesus got this authority and how he prayed, actually. And it says in verse 7, Hebrews 5, 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission.
Yeah.
Now, there's so much in that that we could unpack. There's not time to. I'm just going to literally skirt over many things that I want to encourage you this week to get into the Word yourself and have a look at. This is the days when he was on earth. So in those 3 years and before, he was offering up prayers and petitions. And he wasn't doing that casually, he was doing that fervently, with cries and tears. And, you know, the well-documented one is in the Garden of Gethsemane. The will of God doesn't come naturally to us. Yielding to the Spirit of God, there is a battle within us, within our flesh, to yield to the will of God. And we see that clearly in the life of Jesus. Now, if Jesus battled, then we sure are going to battle with that. He sweated drops of blood. He struggled so much in the Garden of Gethsemane to say, God, not my will, but your will be done. That's how much of a struggle and a battle. And actually, Scripture says that when we are tempted, you ever felt tempted by sin? Tempted to please yourself? Tempted to do your own thing? To eat that third donut? Whatever form temptation comes in.
Yeah.
When you resist it, have you ever felt pain? Maybe not physical pain, maybe physical pain. But a sense of, oh, it's hard.
Yeah.
Scripture talks about the suffering of temptation. That actually we share in the sufferings of Christ when we say no to sin. That's something that we enter into with God. So actually this whole process of submitting ourselves, of not yielding to the pain of suffering, but saying, God, yeah, it is hard and I acknowledge it's hard, but not my will, your will be done, is so key. And Jesus, he prayed loud. He cried out. He prayed fervently. And if he had to do that, I'm sure we do. I don't want you to turn to it, but it also says in John 12:49, this is probably for me one of the most challenging verses in the New Testament. It says that Jesus only spoke what the Father told him to speak. It's one of the most challenging verses for me. He only spoke what he heard the Father tell him to say. And I believe God more and more and more is going to be squeezing us, in a sense, in a right way, so that we think about what we're saying, particularly when we pray. But not just when we pray, but in our prayer, that we're not just babbling lots of words, that we're being led by God, that we're yielding to the Spirit, we're submitting ourselves to him. Why? Because it's becoming more and more vital that we pray what we need to pray. We have liberty to preach the gospel in our city right now. And in a way, some of the things that we're seeing is because of our liberties that are being exploited by the enemy, by many false religious spirits that have gripped the hearts of people. People aren't our enemy. We love people. God wants to see a massive harvest among the Muslim community in London,
yeah,
that are going to go and reach Muslim communities all over the world.
Yeah.
That's what God wants to do. The new reformation that we're believing for that's coming, the new moving of the Spirit that's going to bring salvation, social reform, all those things we're believing for, it's going to be many, many Muslims that come into the kingdom of God and go back and evangelize their nations. It's not people, but the spirit of false religion has exploited our freedoms. How much are you exploiting that freedom with the gospel? I feel so many things at the moment, as in the light of Saturday. I know Jonathan does too. It's like we've just been reading lots. We've just been mulling over things. It's like the Spirit of God's just gripping us over different things about what we've allowed as a nation, what's happening on our streets, and what our response needs to be. And that's the Spirit of God on the inside. That's not something to be afraid of. It's something to embrace, because God has a plan. But this submission is absolutely key, because we need to be able to stand with authority against the things that are happening in our lives, against the things that want to rob us of the freedoms that we currently enjoy. So what do you need to submit? And I've listed some of these things on here, and I'm just going to quickly list them, because we're going to do this tonight afresh. We need to submit our minds, our wills, our emotions. You'll have copies of this as well, so you don't need to take notes. You know, unless God's speaking, you can take this. We need to submit our body, our physical body. I believe it's going to become so important that we're in the right place at the right time. That to be in the wrong place is dangerous. It is anyway, I think. That is just what Scripture shows us. Be where you're meant to be. Know where you're meant to be. Be faithful in being where you're meant to be. Whether that's at work, whether that's with someone you've said you're going to go and see. That might save their life. Might do. Or where you know you should be. We all know what that looks like. We all know the priorities in our lives. So we submit our bodies, our attitudes, our preferences, our opinions. We actually, as we said on Sunday, shouldn't have opinions anyway. Our opinion is this. This is our opinion. This is raised high above what I think, high above my mind, my understanding. This is the only opinion that actually we're called to have. It's the only opinion Jesus had. He didn't have any opinion. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness, being tempted, led there by the Spirit of God? Maybe you feel you're in a wilderness in your life, in different areas where you live or work. It's a bit of a hard place. The Spirit of God led Jesus there, and what did he do? He said, "It is written." But what was he doing in that? He was quoting Deuteronomy. He was quoting the Word that he had submitted himself to. The law. He said, "I haven't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." So this, Jesus knew it. He directly quoted it. And again, this is why we say, read the Word. Memorize it. Memorize it. I mean, I'm challenged. I hope you are too. By how much people give themselves to what they believe in that aren't Christians sometimes. I want to give so much fuel to the Holy Spirit that, because I know the Word, not that I know like just a little bit of it, or I kind of think it says kind of that. I actually know what it says. Because Jesus, and I was challenged by that with Jesus. Jesus directly quoted Deuteronomy. Maybe that's what he was doing in the wilderness. Maybe he'd memorized it and he was just reciting Deuteronomy 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All those promises of obedience. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we need to submit our opinions, our relationships, our money, our time, our future, our present, actually our everything. God wants us to submit everything, doesn't he? So we'll just give the lot. let's just put our whole selves in. Yeah? And I know in this room, I know that that's what you've done. But we need to be doing this. This is not a one-off thing. This is how we live. This is a way of life. And Scripture, a lot of the teachings of Jesus talk about, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's about a way of living. Those who live a certain way will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's about how we live, not what we just do as a one-off on a Sunday or on a big event meeting. So How do you know if you're submitted? What you think, you speak, you act, what you pray. It will release truth if you're submitted in that area. It will release truth. Truth will be what comes out of you. There's no formula, and I've put some other scriptures on here that you can look at, and I've given you some action points that you can do every day this week to bring yourself into a fresh place of submission. I'm just praying this every day. God, just get a hold of me afresh. Get a hold of me afresh. And that's important because that submission, as we know, Jesus humbled himself, Philippians 2, said he made himself nothing. Wow. He laid aside his majesty. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped or held onto. He laid it aside. And it says, because of that, actually because of that, God exalted him and gave him the name above every other name, the name at which every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth. That's why he's got the authority that he has. And for you and I, we need to know how to exercise authority in our city, in our workplace where God has positioned us. Why? Because if you're like me, you're meeting people who are afraid. You're meeting people who don't know what to believe, who when they go to bed at night, they don't have hope. They don't have a saviour yet. And I believe, I've just been praying it, you know, multitudes in the Valley of Decision in our city as a result of Saturday. And God wants us to exercise authority so that we stand out as different. We stand out as those who are able to say, you don't need to be afraid because there is one who is in control. Let me introduce you to him. Amen. So let's have a look at our faith. Let's have a look at what it means to, and let's assume, all right, that we've submitted ourselves, because it's pointless trying to exercise faith if you're walking in pride. And we have to be ruthless with pride in our lives. The original sin of man, if you like. Ruthless with allowing God to humble us. I've been in some situations recently where it's like, God, you're humbling me. I welcome it. It kills me. But do it, Lord. Because I've recognised that's humbling. God never humiliates. That's different. The enemy humiliates. God humbles us. But the scripture says he does that so that he can exalt us. He can lift us up. So to pray in faith, we're assuming that we're operating in humility. Okay? We're not operating in pride. We're not operating out of, any sense of pride. So faith, oh my goodness, we could spend about 10 hours on faith. I've put loads of scriptures down here for you, references, stories, things that you can go through, and I'm just going to pick a few out. Faith, Hebrews 11, 1, it's being sure and certain. It's having confidence. You and I can have confidence. We can be confident in what God is saying, in that God is for us, in that we are not alone, that we don't need to be afraid, that despite what our circumstances say, despite what the news says, despite what the world says, despite what our own feelings say, our own mind is saying at times, we can have confidence that God is for us. So who can be against us? And that in all things, God is working out his plan. In all things. You see, these are very real, aren't they? Because for all of us, there is something where we don't think it fits in the all. Well, how can that work for good, Lord? I can't see it. But if the scripture's true, God wants to release a confidence in us. But actually, all things right now in my life are working for my good. Because I'm called according to his purpose. So I choose to line up my thinking with that and to believe. Ephesians 2:8 says, basically, grace and faith are a gift. So if you're sat here thinking, oh, well, that's all right for Helena, it's all right for Jonathan, It's all right for others. You know, they're men and women of faith. They can just do it. They've got great faith. They can just do it. Faith is a gift. You can't earn it. And God has gifted faith to you. He's gifted you with exactly the faith that you need right now for your situation. But faith, I liken faith to a muscle. And you remember Jesus said when the centurion came, and the centurion said, I want you to come and heal my daughter, I think it was. And he just said to Jesus, just speak the word. Jesus was like, no, I'll come with you. And he's like, no, it's all right. I'm a man under authority. I recognize if you say it, it's done. And Jesus said of him, he turned to the disciples and he said, wow, boys, look at that. That's great faith. Great faith. The scripture also talks about that you only need faith as small as a mustard seed. You only need mustard seed faith. And Jonathan gave us one last year, a little mustard seed faith, you remember? That's all you need. But I don't know about you, but for me, if the word says I can have great faith, I want to go from mustard seed faith to the faith of the centurion. I want to go to great faith. And faith is like a muscle. It grows at the point of pain. Grows at the point where you push it that one more time. And it hurts, doesn't it? It hurts to believe in a situation again when you're still believing. But it's at that point when you feel your faith is its weakest. Actually, it's at its greatest. It's at the point of growing. So faith is a gift. We need to go after it. We need to exercise it and use it. But it's a gift, something God has given us. And there's lots of other scriptures there about how we can exercise our faith, how we can grow in faith. And obviously Hebrews 11 is a key scripture about faith, the hall of faith, all of that. But I want to just emphasize that faith is born out of relationship. Because faith comes from hearing the word of God, it says in Romans. Okay, and that's not hearing someone stand up and preach the word. It can come that way, but it's talking about the revealed word, the rhema word. Faith comes when you've heard something in your spirit from God. That still small voice, that moment when you're reading the scripture and it's like it leaps off the page and it's like, wow, that's for me right now. God's just spoken. That's how faith comes, through hearing the word. By allowing that word to rise up on the inside of us and be the thing that's more dominant. And that comes out of relationship. Comes out of you and your walk with God. And there's some great examples in the scripture. I don't know if you remember the seven sons of Sceva in Acts. They were actually sons of the chief high priest. And it says Jews were going about and copying what Paul was doing because they were working extraordinary miracles in the book of Acts. And the seven sons of Sceva went around casting out demons and they would say, in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, come out, demon. And they were coming out. But this one demon said, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who are you? And it said there were seven of them. And the person who this demon was in gave them such a beating that seven of them ran naked from the house. That's what it says. Why? Because they didn't have relationship themselves. It's out of your relationship with God that you exercise authority and faith in what he's saying. Because you need to hear what God has said to you. Okay? So it's out of your walk with God. And that's really, really important. A couple of other things. And I've said it before on a Sunday, you know, and I know God's developing this. I don't know about you, but Sunday there was a sound in the worship. There was a sound among us, wasn't there? It was different. It was defiant. It was resolute. It was a sound that was, yeah, it was moving. There was a sound among us. Why? Because something had come against us the night before. But there was a sound. And you know, faith, You can hear it.
Yeah.
And I've said it before on a Sunday, we give you permission when you hear something good, amen. That's good. I like that. I want that. Speak it out. Don't be afraid. I think something that I know God is on a mission with his church to break us out of is this being kept silent. Our culture, our politically correct culture, particularly the, what's the, is it millennials? That generation, 20, is that 20s and unders?
Millennials.
Yeah. Particularly the millennials, you've grown up in this culture where you can have a view, but don't you dare speak it out. You've got to be so tolerant of everyone's view. God has not called us to be like that. That's not what the word says. We're to be wise, and we're to be kind, and we're to be loving. But we are to speak out. In fact, scripture says if we don't speak out, how will people believe? How will they know the truth? So you can hear faith. So get used to hearing yourself speaking faith. I think more than anyone else, we need to hear the sound of our own voice in faith. You're used to listening to your own thoughts in your head, which often aren't particularly edifying. Yes, or was that just me? And sometimes we need to get louder than the thoughts in our head to break it, to come against it, because your head is the battlefield. Your mind, and Joyce Meyer wrote a brilliant book on that, didn't she? Battlefield of the Mind. So sometimes we need to speak out and get louder than the voice in your head, get louder than the negative. You can hear faith. There's a story in the Bible of blind Bartimaeus. You remember him? He sat by the roadside. He's blind. He knows stuff's going on. He's heard about this Jesus. There's a crowd going by. He's like, right, this is it. This is my moment. He starts yelling. He starts shouting out, Jesus, son of David. Everyone's like, shut up. Be quiet. He's not going to bother with you. He's the big man of God. You know, he's on his way. He's on his way. And literally everyone's telling him to be quiet. But he knew, I need Jesus. I need to get his attention. He's the one that's got the answer. He's the one that is going to change my life. And he begins to shout out. And he shouts all the more, Jesus! And he stopped Jesus in his tracks. It says Jesus stopped. So you have to ask the question, if he hadn't shouted out, Jesus wouldn't have stopped, would he? He stopped Jesus. You can hear faith. You can see faith. Do you remember the story where there's some friends and they've got one of their friends is paralyzed. And they're trying to get him to Jesus. Maybe they followed the crowds for miles. And they just missed getting into Peter's house. The door's shut, it's full, can't get in. They were not deterred. They're like, no, we've carried him. We've brought him. He's our mate. And we're going to get him to Jesus. They get up on the roof. They start pulling the roof apart. And they lower him down. You can imagine the commotion, literally, if the roof tiles started coming off of here. And, you know, there would have been bits falling down. And Jesus, what did he do? He said, it says he saw their faith. He saw it. He's like, these guys are not going to stop until they get what they want. And what they want is to see me. And he's like, they're going to get it. You can see faith. So just remember that when you look in the mirror. Just remember that when you walk into an environment. You can see faith. You can hear faith. Remember it on a Sunday morning when we're together. Because the opposite is true. You can see unbelief. You can hear and feel unbelief. And God wants to raise us up as a people who, when people walk in our midst, particularly those who don't know the Lord, they're going to walk in and see and hear faith. They're going to be like, God, what is this going on in here? They can see it. They can hear it. They can feel it. And when we pray, if blind Bartimaeus prayed like that, if Jesus prayed like that, faith sometimes needs to get loud. And it wasn't just because he shouted. There was something, I believe, in Bartimaeus's, there was faith there. Because you can just shout, you know, you can just shout and it's no faith. Let me be really controversial. Well, it doesn't happen in our country, thank God. But in Muslim countries where they blast out the sound. Yeah. That's not full of faith. It's not full of faith. It's a call to prayer. It's not producing life. So you can make a lot of noise and it just not produce life. But God's called us to call out in faith. They did it in Acts chapter 4. They called out in faith. And what happened? The building, the very building, shook. And they were all filled with boldness, it says. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and boldness. When you shout out, something's going to come on you. It's going to meet your need like Bartimaeus. It's going to fill you with God, with who he is. And it will change you as you go out. You see, when we pray, that's what God wants. When we pray in faith. Are you getting in faith for some stuff in your life and among us? There's loads more I could say. You know, Jesus, we often think of Jesus, you know, being compassionate and kind and loving. And he was. He wept over Jerusalem. He was moved with compassion to heal the sick, to feed the crowds as they followed him. But do you ever think much about the fact that Jesus went into the temple and caused a riot? Now, I'm not saying we do this, all right, because we shouldn't do anything unless we're led by God. But Jesus didn't just do all those nice things. He also said lots of really hard things. And he did some things. He went into the temple, into like the cathedral. And he overturned the tables in anger and said, what are you doing? You're turning my father's house into something it shouldn't be. It wasn't designed for. And he was in faith. He was acting in faith. You see, you can't pray in faith. You can't suddenly become a person of faith in prayer if you're not a person of faith in life. And we've talked about this before, that it's your prayer life will flow out of your life. Your prayer life is actually happening all the time. God's listening all the time, not just when you're together like now. We're going to pray in a moment. So to pray in faith, to pray with authority, God's watching us all the time to see, are we in faith? Are we believing? Are we yielding? Surrendering, submitting ourselves to him. And I've given you a bunch of things to do this week in terms of faith, like speaking the scriptures out loud. Out loud. I can't say it enough at the moment, guys, because I feel it so strongly from the Lord. Pray the word. Speak the word. In fact, I almost felt challenged to be like, okay, God, I don't even really want to play anything other than scripture. Pray the word. So often, I think we rob ourselves of power because we're praying our own words, our own opinions, our own... Whereas actually God has given us so much that we can... That's his word. And after what we heard on Sunday... This is the most reliable manuscript in the world. There is more evidence of the reality of the truth of this word, so you can have 100% confidence in praying it. That it's eyewitness accounts of what Jesus said. Amen? So let's stand to our feet because we are going to pray. And we are going to pray, first of all, let's before we get into praying for London, let's just pray for ourselves. Just out of that, just ask the Holy Spirit to deal with anything he's put his finger on. I know I'm dealing with stuff all the time. I feel like just the hand of God on me to say, Helena, you've got to change in that. That's got to stop. So just recognize those things before God and actively invite the Holy Spirit to come and deal with you. I can't do that for you. You do that yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Just invite you, Holy Spirit. Come and do what I can't do, Lord. And giving you permission, Lord, to discipline me, to deal with me, Lord, to humble me, Lord, so that I can be a vessel for noble purposes in your hand. And just submit yourself in those areas particularly. Just make a choice. I'm yielding, God. I'm submitting myself afresh. Speak it out. You don't have to speak it loud, but loud enough that you can hear it yourself. I'm submitting myself afresh to you, Jesus. You're the only one that I want to submit to fully in that way. I submit to you, Lord, fully in everything, thought, word, deed, action, every part of my life, Lord. There is no other name that has more authority than you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, let's raise our hands. This is how Jesus prayed. He raised his hands to heaven. And 1 Corinthians talks about the spirit of faith. I believe God just wants to pour out that spirit of faith on us afresh tonight. So just expect to receive right now. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would come and gift us with the faith that we need. You know each person in this room, and Lord, I speak a releasing of the gift of faith. That same spirit of faith, so that I can believe and speak what you call me to speak, Lord. Just receive that spirit of faith right now. It's yours. All the faith that you need to believe God. Thank you, Father. Faith for your friends, for your family, for your circumstances, for your jobs, for your finances, for your ministry, for your future. Whatever it is, faith right now is yours. It's yours. Just thank him. If you know that you're receiving it, just thank him. He's a good father who gives good gifts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, we're going to do one last thing together, and we're going to pray for London. And we're going to do this in four groups. Ruth is going to lead one. I'm going to ask Nathan if he would lead one. Jonathan will lead one, and I'll lead one. We're going to go in four places. Now, I've got a compass on me, but I felt God say do north, south, east, and west. Okay? So, if anyone's got a compass or they know where the north is. North is that way. Okay. We have a compass in the room.
Right, we need to tilt the screen.
And it will say north is over there. Which Claire is.
Yeah.
North is that way.
Can't be. Right, well, God knows anyway. So, let's pray for the north here. Jonathan, do you want to go up in the north? So, we want a few people in the north. He's a northerner, so we'll put him in the north. I'm a southerner, so I'll play in the south. There's no north-south divide in our home. Would you like to do the east and then the west for you? And let's divide ourselves up. Just go to whichever one you feel. and let's have two or three in each, you know, make sure the numbers are fairly balanced. Those that are leading, we're just going to briefly lead, praying in the Spirit and praying whatever the Spirit of God directs over London right now. I mean, I can think of loads of things to direct in that, but God will direct in terms of how we pray. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for the people. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.